From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fifth message in a series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings part two of a message entitled Lessons from Joshua Sending Spies to Jericho. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the collection called Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's meditation is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Many persons want to know their election before they look to Christ, but they cannot learn it thus. It is only to be discovered by looking unto Jesus. If you desire to ascertain your own election, after the following manner shall you assure your heart before God. Do you feel yourself to be a lost, guilty sinner? Go straightway to the cross of Christ and tell Jesus so, and tell him that you have read in the Bible, Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Tell him that he has said, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Look to Jesus and believe on Him, and you shall make proof of your election directly. For so surely as you believe, you are elect. If you will give yourself wholly up to Christ and trust Him, then you are one of God's chosen ones. But if you stop and say, I want to know first whether I am elect, you ask what you know not. Go to Jesus, be you never so guilty, just as you are. Leave all curious inquiry about election alone. Go straight to Christ and hide in His wounds, and you shall know your election. The assurance of the Holy Spirit shall be given to you, so that you shall be able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him. Christ was at the everlasting council. He can tell you whether you were chosen or not, but you cannot find it out in any other way. Go and put your trust in Him, and His answer will be, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There will be no doubt about His having chosen you when you have chosen Him. Sons we are through God's election, who in Jesus Christ believe.
Thank you.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. In Joshua chapter 2, we find the record of Joshua sending two spies to scout out the city of Jericho. The Lord had already promised the victory, so why did Joshua send the spies? In answering that question, Dr. Cairns has set forth the importance and influence of special witness to the people of God. The spies were ordinary men, well known to the Israelites, and their testimony provided a point of contact with God's great purpose. As the battle for Jericho loomed before them, the people were naturally apprehensive, and the report of the spies gave them much confidence. In addition to meeting the people's deep-seated need, Joshua also established sane ways of assuring the people of the will of God, a matter which is of vital concern to every believer. Now to bring the next portion of this message, Lessons from Joshua Sending Spies to Jericho, here is Dr. Cairns.
The spies were a point of contact. for ordinary people with the great plans that were shaping their destiny. Try to put yourself in that crowd. There is Joshua. Joshua, to the people of Israel, was a man apart. Joshua stood on a different spiritual level. Joshua appeared, indeed, to the ordinary people of Israel almost to be a man from a different planet. He was a man who had experiences they never had. He was a man who stood on a level they could never reach. And he was there telling them of these great communications from God. Now they believed them. They said, "We're going to follow you, whatever the cost." But when Joshua sent out the spies, they were much more of the ordinary type. They were taken from out of the people. And when the people saw two of their own number, as it were, undoubtedly two very special people of their own number, but still of their own number, who went into Jericho, did their job, came out again, and they gave their report, the people had a point of contact with these great plans that were shaping their destiny. And from the lips of the spies, the people would learn, Jericho is ripe to be taken. Now what we have in the mission of the spies is, I think, a classic example of a famous truth in Scripture. In Psalm 103 and verse 14, the psalmist said, "The Lord knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." The Lord and Joshua could simply have commanded Israel and said, "This is your duty and this is my promise now. Step out and do your job in the light of the promise." That would have been perfectly justifiable. But the Lord knows the frame of His people. The Lord understands the dust of which we're made. He knows how weak we are. And thus, He met the need of the weakness of the people. And He strengthened them at their weakest point so that they would go in with greater heart and fuller faith to do the work to which He had called them. This isn't the only occasion on which the Lord followed this procedure. He showed the very same care, for example, in the case of Gideon. Remember how in chapter 6 of Judges, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and he greeted him as a mighty man of valor. So obviously the Lord saw in Gideon a courage, a strength, a willing determination fully to follow the Lord. And yet, when the Lord had brought Gideon and his entire army down to 300 men, and He set before him the task of defeating the swarming armies of the Amalekites, He yet detected in Gideon not only a willingness to follow the Lord, but a natural fear. A natural feeling of personal inadequacy. And so the Lord said to Gideon, in Judges 7, verses 9 through 11, "Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host." So Gideon and Phurah, because they did fear, went down secretly, like the two spies. You remember the occasion when they heard one Amalekite soldier telling his dream to another, and how the other interpreted it. And it was like to Gideon a message from heaven. This is nothing but the sword of Gideon. This is the destruction of Amalek through Gideon. Here was another confirmation of fear, alarm, that had spread among the enemies of God and of Israel. And so Gideon came back assured of victory. Did he not believe until then? Yes, he did.
Was he not sure that he could commit himself to the Word of God? Yes, he was. He had actually put his life on the line already, committing himself to the Word of God. Gideon had proved that he believed the Word of God. But, you see, the truth is, and sometimes Christians are afraid to admit this, sometimes they're ashamed to admit it. The truth of the matter is, even men of great faith like Gideon, men of great courage like Gideon, men who had already hazarded their lives for the cause of God through naked obedience to the Word of God, yet can feel very isolated, very alone, very fearful, and very inadequate. He felt that way. The Lord knew he felt that way. And while some mortals who are always ready to judge others by a much stricter standard than that which they apply to themselves, while mortals would have come and chided Gideon about his fear and his weakness, the Lord knew his frame. He remembered that he was dust, and he came and he met that need within him, just as he did in the days of Joshua when he sent out the spies. We find that he did the same in the New Testament church. Have you ever wondered as to the purpose of the many autobiographical details that the Apostle Paul introduces into his epistles? Paul introduces those details as a confirmation of the faith of the saints. Oh, surely those saints believed the Word of God. But Paul's personal experience greatly strengthened their faith and toughened their resolve to stand for God and prove Him as He was proving Him. Now, this is something very, very simple, and yet it's profoundly important to God's people. You could argue that as Christians, we have the Word of God. Surely that's enough for us. Do you need any other testimony than the Word of God? You could argue, not only do we have the Word of God, but we have the indwelling Spirit of God. And that therefore, we shouldn't need any more support for our confidence, or any further reason to do the will of God. Now there's some truth in that. We should stand on the naked Word of God. There's no additional authority to Scripture. It's impossible to add to the authority of Scripture. So there is some truth in it. But again, let's face reality. The simple fact of the matter is that the great body of Christians, including you and me, the great body of Christians today is not one step ahead of Gideon or the people of Israel in this matter. The great body of Christians still face their duty with a great deal of uncertainty. We know what we ought to do, and yet we feel within us many a time a gripping fear. Many a time we feel within us a deep sense of personal incapacity and inadequacy for the job. In other words, Christians today need the kind of encouragement that the two spies provided for Israel in the days of Joshua. When we face some great challenge, the prior experience of God's people is a wonderful source of strength and encouragement. That was the value of the spies to Israel. And that's the value of the experience of other people for us. You remember the words of the old hymn, taken slightly out of context in that it was more of an evangelistic hymn, but the truth is still there. It's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Now every Christian knows, for instance, I must stand for God. Every Christian knows that. Whether in the business, or in the world, or in the home, I must stand for God. Everything about my life should reflect that. My church affiliation should reflect my stand for God. The way I do my job should reflect my stand for God. The way I rule my life should reflect my stand for God. The way I run my home should reflect my stand for God. My dealing with people in every area of life must be an expression of my stand for God. Every Christian knows that. You need to be convinced of that by some argument. I doubt that you're saved. I don't think that anybody can have the light of life within him, can have the witness of the Spirit of God within him, and not know my duty is to stand for God. And yet, sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes we are bombarded with every sort of opposition, and sometimes we find within us an enemy right inside the heart, a betrayer, a Judas, something that would not stand for God, but would rather throw open the gates to the enemy. Sometimes it's difficult. Now, knowing what we ought to do is one thing. Very often, however, the Lord will come and give us an encouragement from others just like ourselves, just as weak, because they're flesh and blood. Though they may have progressed further spiritually, yet just as weak because they're only flesh and blood. And he'll use their experience and their testimony to strengthen us as we stand for God. How many times, for instance, and you'll have known this in your own life, how many times have Christians been strengthened by listening to the stories of the faithful martyrs of the faith? I have told you some of these illustrations, especially in our Reformation Month services, again and again. I remember as a young boy growing up and hearing the stories of the two Margarets who were willing to be drowned in Scotland rather than give up their faith. One of them just a girl in her mid-teens, or mid to late teens. When you hear that, you wonder, could I do that? But it gives you perspective in life. It shows you the grace of God to ordinary people to take their stand for Jesus Christ. You take one thing that I think worries many Christians, and they find it hard to tally their experience with the Scripture. They read in the Scripture, for instance, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." They read, as we read last week from Hebrews chapter 2, that the Lord Jesus Christ took part of our flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Christians read that. And yet, when they look in their own heart, honesty compels them to say that death sends a chill of fear down their spine. So how do you deal with those things? Many Christians deal with it by pretending that they have a victorious confidence that they don't have. Many other Christians sink down into despair, feeling that they must be something sub-Christian, because real Christians wouldn't feel this way. And obviously both of those things are wrong. The Word of God is true. But notice what David said. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." When David would have the victory was when he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We need to learn that you don't get grace to die when what you need is grace to live. And you don't get grace to live when what you need is grace to die. God meets out His grace to His people according to where they are and what their need is. But so many Christians want today to be living in this wonderful victory over death when they're not living in victory over life. It's grace to live we need at the moment. And when we come to die, His promise is He will give us grace to do that just as triumphantly.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.